Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As my morning glory prophet, Pastor View, said, let us have a winning Wednesday this morning, moving forward, family. For God is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. I am so thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you today as we move forward in the Word of God, because God's Word is true. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. I want to see God one day. We are coming out of Genesis, Psalm, Proverbs, and Matthew this morning as we start our journey moving forward in the Word of God. And I love that Morning Glory Nation, which is another ministry that I listen to and I'm a part of. We're in Joshua, which y'all know that have been with me, that is my favorite book of the Bible. And I love what Pastor Few said this morning, which I'm sharing with you, is you have not passed this way before. Although we have read this word from Genesis to Revelation, it's always new. We learn something new every day, something we didn't catch last year that we're going to catch this year, because the Word of God is always new, morning by morning. New mercies we see. So I thank God for the new today. I thank God for this winning year. I thank God for this new in 22. I thank God for this winning Wednesday. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Father God in heaven, we come together this morning ready to receive your word, Lord God, asking you to increase as we decrease, asking you to accept the words of our mouth and the meditation of our pure heart. Hallelujah. For you are our strength and redeemer, Father God, and we want to see you one day. We want to be absent from this body and in your presence one day. Lord God, we want to know that there is nothing like you, Father God. You are absolute. You are our beginning. You are our end. You are our Father. You are God, and I am your humble servant, open and ready to be used by you as we study and read your holy word. In Jesus' name, I lift this word up, asking you, Lord, to give us understanding, to give us clarity, to let it permeate our hearts and minds and spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I done got all hyped up this morning. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thanking God that he sent me to Morning Glory this morning. I have been oversleeping and missing out. God woke me up this morning and said, it's time to go to work. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful that I stepped out this morning into the new and went to Morning Glory Nation. Because as you can tell, I'm all hyped up from what I got from there, so I can share it with what God is giving me for you. Hallelujah. And we are in Genesis chapter 9 and 10. This morning, we're in Psalms 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, and Matthew chapter 5, which is where our title comes from this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. I'm praying for a pure heart because I want to have my time absent from the body in the presence of the Lord when it is my time. I'm not rushing God. You know, you got folks rushing God, trying to get there when they don't know they're there. Might be a pit. We need to take our time and wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you again this morning. So let's get into our word today. And it says in chapter 9 of the book of Genesis on this fifth day of January. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you, the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat fruit. Now, excuse me, you shall not eat flesh, which is life, that is its blood. Oops, let's read that again. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh, with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your life blood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. But in the image of God, he made man. Other words, all these folks thinking it's all right to kill, steal, and destroy, to take the life of somebody else. God has already told us there will be an accounting. Thou shalt not kill. He already had it out there in the word with Noah. Thou shalt not kill. And it goes on to tell us, and it says, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Y'all need to have some babies. That's what he's saying. God make some babies. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. What does it say? That the rainbow is my covenant, meaning a covenant between us and God. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So all folks want to get all bent out of shape about folks wanting to use the rainbow as their symbolism. All we got to do as Christians is remember that the rainbow is our covenant to do. I know what it means to me, and that's what we got to go back to, is I don't care what you do. That's between you and God, because I have no hell to put you in, and I have no heaven to send you to. But if you want to take what's God's and bastardize it to something that's not, then that's between you and God. But I know what the word of God says that the rainbow means. and I'm going to stand on God's word. So for all your sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled Christians that see my rainbow shirt, don't get in my face because you don't know my story. And I do know the word. And don't let me get to preaching to you that this rainbow is my covenant with God. So you take your dirty mind and go someplace else. Come on now. We got to stop always assuming everybody's got some kind of agenda. Maybe the rainbow is just that, the rainbow, a covenant with God. Come on now. And it goes on to say, it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Again, our covenant is with God. And the covenant is that God said, I will never destroy this earth again with a flood. Never again. This rainbow, when you see that rainbow, no, it's your covenant with God. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to tell us, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole populated. From these three, the whole earth was populated. In other words, y'all my cousins, y'all, we family. We are all family. The word has told us we're family. My family is you, continent of Asia, you who are in the continent of Africa, you that are on in North America, South America, you who are in the Caribbean, you who are in Israel, you who are all over this planet, we are family. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, because DNA says we family on the inside, because it says so in the word of God. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Word of God. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah woke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. Now understand, let's read that again. It says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and lay and told his two brothers outside. He didn't laugh at his daddy. He saw his nakedness, but he got cursed because Noah felt ashamed of being naked in front of his child because he got drunk. So instead of blaming himself, he blamed the child. Come on now. But what Ham did was, so they, because they had to get his dad covered up, which is what they did. But let's go back and read what it says. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, so all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Let's keep going. Getting ready to get into some genealogy. And I'm going to tell you up front, I may not pronounce all the names correctly, but I will do my best. Hallelujah. And it says this, now this is a genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Raphaeth, Togarmah, Gorma. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tirash, Kittim, and Dodan, Dinim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language and according to their families and to their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mezarim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabbatah, Ramah, Saptekah, and the sons of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. It says, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty honor before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty honor before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, and the land of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Calah, Racine, between Nineveh and Calah. This is the principal city. Mezarim begot Ludum, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Kathrushim, and Kalashim, from whom came the Philistines and the Kaphatorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Het, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Gershurites, and the Hivites, and the Arkites, and the Sinite, and the Evradite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Giza, and as you go toward Sodom and Gomorrah, Adamah and Zeboim, as far as Lishai. These were the sons of Ham according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. And the children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth. The elder, the sons of Shem, were Elam, Asher, Ephrazad, Lud, Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, Mash. Arphazad begot Shilai, and Shilai begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brothers' names were Jokteon. Jokteon begot Amodad, Shelephet, Hazarmav, Zerah, Hadoram, Uzel, Dikalah, Obel, Abimael, Sheba, Orpher, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha, as you go toward Shephar, the mountains of the east. These were the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, and to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations, in their nations. And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. We are family. Instead of sisters, I got my brothers with me. is what Noah's sons would have been singing back in the day. But let's go back over some life lessons from Genesis 9 and 12. It says, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. Genesis 9 and 12. And it just tells us this. It says, that is with you for perpetual generations. And we know that is the rainbow. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. When God makes a promise, he does not want us to forget. Therefore, he often gives us some tangible sign or pledge to memorize, to memorialize his promise. And, you know, a friend of mine passed away. And the day of his memorial, it rained, and it was like, oh, man, this is awful. You know, but it rained during the service while everyone was in the church. When we came out, it had stopped raining. Went into the repast, started raining again, came out, no rain. Had a get together at their home. Rain before, after, no rain. But in the clouds were this beautiful rainbow that came over the lake. I mean, just gorgeous. And it was bold and vibrant. But in the background, it was a double rainbow. In the background was a smaller, not as vibrant rainbow. And a person took a picture of the two. And they felt like it represented this person, brother that had passed before him, to show his parents that these young men were still together. And the dad of these men died also at the end of last year. And before he died, he said to me that his sons were getting the boat ready. Because he loved to be on the lake and in the boats and all of this. And he said, they're getting the boat ready. And I believe that those rainbows represented over the lake that they knew their dad was going to be coming to join them in the boat. So think about this when you go through your day and when it rains and you're like, oh, just look up. God's going to send a rainbow to remind us of our covenant with him. Psalms chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. David didn't play, y'all. And we know this was when he was dealing with his son. This was not a Saul word. This was a Absalom word. And as we go back, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And so David is speaking about his son who is chasing after him to take his kingdom. And, you know, the sad tragedy is we all know what happened as we get into our other words down in Kings and Chronicles. What happened to Absalom? You know, not honoring his father. Died at the hands of someone else. Hung in a tree by his pretty hair. Come on now. But let's get back. I'm not going to go there until we get there. But it says, as we look at the word, I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people. Highlightable. Keep that in your highlighted. And it goes on to tell us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23 to 27, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hands and no one regarded, because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. What a word. Now to the word that God gave me for this morning, Matthew chapter 5. And all I can say is, blessed are we. We are blessed in our coming in and blessed in our going out. Why? Because God tells us that we are blessed. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Because as we look at the blessed, the attitudes, we understand that God has given us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for, because we are blessed in our coming in and blessed in our going out. And this is what the word of God tells us. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that is our title for this morning. And I'll read that again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives a light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. And what did God tell us in the days of Noah? Let's go back there. Go back with me to Genesis. And it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. Next, we're going to go back up to verse number 8. Verse number 5. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, but in the image of God he made man. That's the word. And what did our word just say this morning? Whew. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law. Jesus told them, don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For surely I said you till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. We got to let our light shine. We got to understand the commandments and the laws of the prophets. We trying to get to heaven. But the word has told us, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell and of hellfire. So we got to quit calling folks fools. Are they just a fool? You shouldn't be using that word. You know, we talk about folks being foolish. We got to understand that the word of God says you fool. We should not be calling folks that. Shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. To this last word that we just had this morning. And read the life lesson. And it says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5 and 6. The hunger and thirst for righteousness ultimately means that one hungers and thirsts for God. And those who long for God, the real God, not a false deity of their own imagination, will find him and be filled. You know, we get caught up in what we imagine. We got to understand that the word of God has already told us where our daddy is. And we want to thirst and follow and want more of him. We got to wake up in the morning with our mind stayed on the Lord. Our mind stayed on Jesus. We got to have a hallelujah in our spirit. And we got to know that we know that we know that God is in charge of everything. Everything. And as Matthew says, you are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5 and 13. And I look at what Dr. Stanley says in his devotional. He says, Jesus wants us to take seriously our role as salt, a preservative. Our behavior is to be distinctly different from those who do not know God, and it must not reflect the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless culture. You know, it's so easy for folks to tell you about yourself and what you need to do and how you need to do it, but don't look at themselves. But understand, we are light. We are on the hill. We're not going to let our light go under a basket. We're going to let it shine. And even though folks want to pull you in the darkness, you can't follow after that. Whatever somebody tells you, you'll know it came from God or you'll know it didn't. You'll know it came from a place that's not a place of love, but a place of hate. Because when people are miserable, they want to make you miserable too. You know, you got to shake that stuff off and keep it moving. Because everything that's God's plan is God's plan. And you can mind those spirits of hatred, those spirits of, if it was me, this is what I would do. You know what? It's not you. You do you and I'll do me, because I'm going to do me with God. And I'm going to let God lead me and guide me. And I'm going to trust in him through all things, through all adversity. Because one thing I know, that God will give you double for your trouble, that you may go, because especially when you try to do what's right, you try to do what's right. God knows our hearts. He knows when we're selfish. He knows when we're trying to hold on to everything. And sometimes you got to open, give in order for God to give you. Because a closed hand can't do nothing but let something slide out the bottom. It goes out a little at a time until there's nothing left. But when you open your hand and hold it straight, you can give and you can receive. So we need to learn how to open our hands to give as well as receive from God, because God will bless his children. I'm trusting God for blessings upon blessings in my new year, my new me and my new year. You know, and I notice how the devil will try to pull you back into the old you. We got to learn how to shake that mess off and get up and get moving, because God has got plans for our life, and it's time to walk in it and walk through it. And I love this word from Dr. Stanley one more time. Jesus wants us to take seriously our role as salt, a preservative. Our behavior is to be distinctly different from those who do not know God, and it must be reflected the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless culture. That must not reflect the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless culture. We got to walk in victory. We got to walk and know that we are children of God and God has our best interest at heart. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Some people mistakenly think that Jesus came to reveal a God totally different from the old revealed in the Old Testament. But this is false. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, not to replace it with his own. Come on now. Dr. Stanley knows he's telling the truth. Jesus already told us what he came to do. You know, it wasn't something new. He said, I came to fulfill, not to change, but to fulfill. I do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is speaking, and we are listening. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. And it says this again. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 of chapter 5. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's what we do. And it goes on to tell us, how can I rid myself of guilt? Consider several key steps required to be free from guilt, all under the banner of forgiveness. Admit to the sin that created your guilt. Repent of your sin to God. If you have sinned against another person, confess to that person. Also, in facing your sin, make certain that it is a sin before God. The sin you think you have committed may have been merely a mistake or error of someone else's sin. On the other hand, remember that our society is quick to accept some sinful behaviors as normal. The Bible presents a very clear picture of what is sin and isn't. If you have any doubt about whether you have sinned, consult the scriptures. Come on now. When you confess to God or a person that you have sinned, don't try to justify what you did. Simply state your sin or error, then ask God or the person to forgive you. Number two, make amends. If you have wronged another person, don't try to substitute a request for forgiveness by doing kind deeds for that person. This same principle holds for your relationship with God. Don't try to substitute works for genuine forgiveness. We got to forgive. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep on moving. In seeking to make amends for a wrong committed against another person, you may be wise to ask the person what he or she would consider fair payment for the hurt or injury, or you may want to offer satisfaction of some type. The best repayment may be a genuine change in your life, which may involve counseling or professional help or therapy. Ask God to give you wisdom in identifying appropriate amends. Also, ask him to give you to follow through on your commitment to the offended person. Accept forgiveness. If you have sinned against God and repented, you may be assured that he has forgiven you. His word promises that he will pardon you, and God always keeps his word. If you have sinned against another person and he forgives you, accept his words of forgiveness and face value. Don't try to second guess his sincerity or motives. What happens if you confess a sin against another person and the person refuses to forgive you? That person bears the responsibility for failing to forgive. You don't. You have done what the Lord requires of you, and you stand clear before the Lord. And that is our word for this morning. And the question was, how can I get rid of guilt? And the first one is, admit to the sin that created your guilt. Make amends. And number three, accept forgiveness. Thank you so much, family. If there's anyone that has a word from God this morning, please push the number one on your phone. Oh, wow. That's all I can say is God is in charge and we are his children. Blessed are they, but they shall see God. And I say today, have your heart, get your heart purified. So so that you can be with God one day. Know that you are all children of the Most High and that you are going to win. You're going to win because you trust in God. And remember, when you look up and you see that rainbow, know that it is a covenant between you and God, and that we will not walk in fear. We will walk in faith, knowing that God is in charge of everything. And we have a caller. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
3546, Evangelist, your line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
All right. I just wanted to say I thank the Lord for another day, a new year, and His grace, new grace and new mercies. I just want to thank the Lord for the food that we ate this morning, that our bodies received and nourished our souls, because we need the Word of God as well as natural. I'm just grateful to be alive on this morning, thanking every prayer warrior for their prayers, for the prayers of the righteous develop much. And just remember that even when we go through, God is still using us. God bless you. Love you much.
God bless you, Evangelist. Thank you so very much. And again, I will just say this, all the Moving Forward family lifted you in prayer as you went through your illness and your situations on last week. We are thanking God that His healing power prevailed and righteous prayer does avail much. We are thankful that you're back with us, and we continue to ask God to watch over you and yours and to bless you and to continue His healing process over you and yours and over all of those that are sick and shut in today. We lift you up in the name of Jesus, knowing that by His stripes you are healed. And we are thanking God today for His grace, for His mercy, for His goodness, and for His kindness. Like I said, we are all sons and daughters of God. And we lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Father God in heaven, we come again, thanking you for this mighty, awesome word this morning. For we know we are blessed because we belong to you, Lord God. We know we are blessed even when we're going through, Lord God. Because when we go through, it just brings us closer to you, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for your comfort during my period of mourning. I thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, a great and mighty Father who loves His children unconditionally. And we thank you, our Savior, for saving our lives, for making us whole, for taking our sins to the cross. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And by your stripes we are healed, because you have taken all iniquity with you to the cross, to the grave, and you rose up, hallelujah, with the keys to heaven in your hands as you went in and took them. And we thank you, Lord, that the slimy snake has no power because you are omnipotent and no one is tougher than you. Put our lives, we put our hearts, we put our minds, we put our spirit. We give ourselves away for to you, Father God. To you, our Savior. Use us for your glory. And it's in your name, Christ Jesus, we pray, believing and trusting that all things are working for our good. Because we are putting everything we have, all of our trust, all of our hope, all of our prayers, we put in your hands, Lord, knowing that you are in charge of everything. And it's in the name of Jesus we look up, lift up, giving honor, glory, and praise to the Most High God. And we say together, amen. And I pray again, Father God, that you watch between me and all those that are listening live and later. As we depart from each other, Lord God, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us you. In Jesus' name again, I pray. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. as one of the women I listened to this morning, have a winning Wednesday, family, and walk, take a step towards your water, which is the living water of Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. I love you. I thank God for you. Please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning as we continue our journey again through the Word of God, because every day is a new day and we learn something new. What you might have missed last year, you're going to gain this year, because the Word of God is always stable. We are not. And that's why we learn every day. So thanking God for his stability. Thanking God for each of our squares, that we can walk in the light and not in darkness, that we will put our light up on that hill so all that see us see a little part of God in us. But we may be, as the cliche says, the only Jesus they see. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Got to go to work. Love you all. Have a great and wonderful day in the Lord. It's a winning Wednesday. And before we get out, let's get a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And God gave her this morning. Woo, I love it. I love it. I love it. Sometimes you get knocked down lower than you have ever been just to stand taller than you ever were. Have a walk with God Wednesday, family. I'm going to read that again. Good. Sometimes, remember this, sometimes you get knocked down lower than you have ever been. Been there. Got knocked down. Got the I got knocked down t-shirt. But I know that I know that if I just stand taller than you ever were, have a walk with that our parents used to do. They take a little spit and wipe off your cheek and you're like, ew, but you be clean. Now you got mama cleaned. So understand one more time for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you get knocked down lower than you have ever been just to stand taller than you ever were. Have walk with God Wednesday, a glorious day in the Lord, knowing that he is with you wherever you go. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day.